Yay.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, boy. We're raring and ready to go. This is Dr. John Stamey, and welcome to Pop Culture Stars. Boy, we got a lot of fun tonight. We got a full house. We got a lot of our friends here. None of our enemies. That's always a good thing. Right, Dave?
Of course.
Which Dave is he talking
That's
to?
Right. All right, so anyway, let's get going. Let me introduce our roundtable discussion folks here. First of all, the curmudgeon of Jacksonville, the guy that can complain about something even when it doesn't need to be complained about. Dave Atwell, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, somebody's got to keep you damn people in line, so I'm glad to help. I am doing
there you
I know. I know, and in the green room this afternoon you were talking about damn glow sticks. Come on, man. I didn't mention Bigfoot. You were talking about glow sticks. Come on. Be nice, Dave. All right, anyway, we're glad to have you here as usual. I still can't find a reason to fire you, so you're here permanently. Okay, I guess we're going to call him from Jacksonville now, our eye in the J sky, Todd Sexton. How are you, Todd, tonight?
I am outstanding, the supernatural, and ecstatic to be here, people. You should have just heard the chatter in the green room. A lot of it was about people and their pets, and it's just kind of people hanging out. So it's that kind of show that I think everybody's feeling really relaxed tonight. So let's see what happens. At this moment, I say anything goes. Over.
That's exactly right. Well, we're glad to have you here. And Tim Armstrong from our real eye in the Indianapolis sky. How are you doing tonight, Tim?
I'm doing wonderful. In the middle of fall break, so I've got the entire week off work. Just got back from Gatlinburg, Tennessee. I'll give them a nice shout-out. And I'm currently just relaxing, glad I'm not driving anymore. I've got the vodka and Diet Coke in hand and ready for an awesome show with all the wonderful people on the call.
Well, we're glad to have you here. All right. Our guest again by popular demand, the amazing one, the amazing Velvet from Charleston. How are you doing tonight, amazing one?
I am great. I'm great. I hope everybody's doing well and ready for a good show.
Well, I'm gonna mention something about you that I heard just briefly, and then I confirmed it today. You have a wonderful job that you do occasionally, and that is that you tune large pipe organ. I've never met anyone that does that.
I do. I got it.
You can get into some tight spots there, huh?
Oh my gosh! Some of these cases are not big enough for a child, and you have to get inside these cases to get to all different pipes and reeds and things, because if it's out of whack or something got in it, a roach, a dead rat, or it could just be that somebody hit the key too hard, it'll knock it out of whack, and so you got to get in there and mess around with it. But yeah, you got to be a contortionist at times. Pretty crazy.
All right, well, good to know that you have you are gainfully employed with a marvelous occupation. So that's
right,
really cool.
To fall back on, right.
Well, I think you're not falling back on it. You're doing it, and I think that's great.
it's
and
fun.
As of right now, I believe he is helping tune the organ at St. Philip's Anglican Church in downtown Charleston, which is one of the more beautiful places in the world. And so we're proud to have an organ tuner on here. And, of course, the lady from Arkansas, from Springdale, Arkansas, Granny Hulkster. How are you doing tonight?
Well, Dr. John, I'm well. Thank you very much. And it's always a pleasure and an honor to be on this great podcast with such wonderful guys like you all.
I don't know how great it can be, but we love having you here, and we do have a good time. So anyway, it's great to have you here. And so Todd, you were the one that said, let's talk about some wrestling tonight. So I'm going to put you up for you are up first on deck, and you can fire away to the Amazing Velvet, who's one of the more knowledgeable people about wrestling that I've ever met. Bro, get going, Todd. You're the man. With the plan tonight.
Okay, I can do that. Boy, I'm going to tell you to go reread those texts and see who brought that up first. I won't mention his name, but his initials are Dave Atwell.
Yeah, and that was a wise ass comment.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry, Todd. I was driving, and I guess I only got the second of the. I only got the second text, not the first one. So sorry. Okay. Then I'll put Dave on the hot seat.
Oh no, it's funny because what I said I was going to bring up for my favorite match was Godzilla versus Gigan. Tell you what, I love some of those old kaiju wrestling matches. But no, I was kind of. I used to like some of the old tag team stuff because there were times when it could be so wonderfully competitive that you would think any tag team could take out the other one. And there were just some great tag teams over the years. And I think some of them kind of underrated the, you know, as a big Hart Foundation guy, there were, you know, Road Warriors were pretty doggone easy, but there were just a ton of things. And I can't remember who the Bushwhackers were wrestling, but we were at a live event in Houston, Texas, and my son was real small, and ain't not even preschool yet, anything like that. He's out there and he's watching the match. The Bushwhackers are out there, and the bad and I, like I said, I can't remember necessarily who they were wrestling. And the bad guys, were having their moment. And, boy, if my son didn't start losing his mind trying to spit at him and everything else, and here we are, you know, like 40 rows back, and the poor guy in front of us is getting sprayed and stuff. I'm like, holy crap. That's just that was the nature of the thing. And that was, you know, some of those guys could really rouse the emotion. Sure, he was a young kid, but that was just – you know, that was just some of the stuff. There was always so much stuff going on. You had some teams that were came and went that were really good. Like, I want to say Adrian Adonis, and I want to say it was Dick Murdoch that he tag teamed with for the longest. They were friggin' excellent. They were friggin' excellent. It was just... You know, they were such a good tag team, and I don't – those are the kind of tag teams that get lost amongst the Hart Foundation and the Road Warriors and, you know, that kind of stuff. But I'm a tag team, you know, I'm a big fan of the tag team stuff. So, Velvet, what sticks in your mind on tag team stuff?
That's your cue, Velvet. By the way, Velvet, before you start, I got to say greetings to Steve Logan, the professor of wrestling. Hey, Steve, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing good.
Well, we're glad to have you here. Now, Amazing Velvet, are you there with us, and are you – because Todd called upon you to answer
a
question.
Yes, I'm here.
There you are, good. Yes. All right, answer his question, okay?
All right, being a tag team specialist myself, because I love tag team wrestling, I can give you a forgettable tag team right off the rip, okay? And that would be Paul Orndorff and Jimmy Snuka. They were in it. They were in it, won the tag titles in the Mid-Atlantic area, and then boom, they were gone. I mean, they won them. 3 months later, they were gone. So that was one of those kind.
Wow.
What's that?
Yeah. That's just not a pairing I would see coming. Remember Paul Orndorff doing the Absorbing Junior commercials?
Yeah.
I mean, that dude was so put together, and I was just like, he made that pile driver look well and truly vicious. The way he did things, that would have been, what a trip to watch. Wow, way to pull one out.
Yeah, but my favorite tag team of all time, hands down, nobody can change my mind on this whatsoever, is Ricky Steamboat and Jay Youngblood, favorite of all time. And watching them wrestle every watching everybody from the original Minnesota Wrecking Crew. They wrestled the Briscoes. They wrestled Sergeant Slaughter and Don Kernodle. They wrestled the Superstar. When Superstar had three different tag team partners, he was a Superstar and a Super Destroyer. Then it was Superstar and Paul Jones. Then it was Superstar and Wahoo McDaniel. And they wrestled all of those teams. But, you know, that's tag team wrestling is a lost art today. They're trying to bring it back as far as AEW is concerned and some of the other places, but it's a lost art. I mean, it really is. WWE does not do it any justice because Vince McMahon doesn't like tag team wrestling. He doesn't like tag team wrestling.
Some awesome tag teams over the years.
And he split every one of them up or got rid of them. Because he's a jinx.
Yeah.
Man, let me tell you something. Ugh.
I mean,
he grinds
NXT
my goat.
NXT tries, but on the main roster, it just feels like dedication to tag teams.
NXT is a totally different brand from Raw and SmackDown because once they come up, Keith Lee, he was the big dog coming up. They didn't let him do any of his stuff that he was doing on NXT. They cut him down to four moves, just like they do everybody else. And that's
right.
I can't watch it. I can't watch it. It's worthless. I mean, how many more times can I see the Hogan leg drop in my lifetime? Come on. Give me a break.
I want to talk about a wrestling move that doesn't hurt. Me and my brother have had the conversation a million times about wrestling moves that don't hurt versus one that do. I put my brother in the figure four back when we were kids. I hurt my brother by accident. We were just fooling around. We weren't even, you know, getting into a brother fight or anything. And I dropped him in a figure four. And, yeah, I got my ass tore up over it. But the big joke as adults now are, okay, if we're going to do this again, what's the wrestling move we can use where somebody ain't going to get hurt? And the wrestling or the Hogan leg drop. I don't care if you find somebody who weighs 400 pounds. The Hogan leg drop means absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing at all.
You know, he had two moves.
That's all it does.
He had two moves, yeah. He had two moves, a big boot and then the leg drop. That was it.
Yeah.
But, if you go back.
Years ago.
Yeah, go ahead.
They were putting out a wrestling video game. And they were naming all the characters that were going to be in it. And when they were doing the review, it said each character will have 40 moves each. And then in a little byline, it said, which means they'll make up 37 for Hogan.
Right. Well, I can tell you, Steve knows this as well as anybody else. If you go back and look at Hogan versus the Great Muta in Japan, he actually can wrestle. But when he was here, they didn't want him getting – see, this is the reason. They didn't want him getting hurt. They needed him every night. They needed him on TV. They didn't want him to get hurt. He was the big superstar at that point. And, you know, he didn't get to do the things like he did in AWA either because they started slowly in AWA changing him to about five or six moves, and then it got cut down to three? I mean, come on.
They were actually good because he was fighting Don Morocco and the Ganya and Bobby Heenan was the Nick Bockwinkel was in on there he actually had some nasty matches, especially with Don Morocco because he was no shrimp either. Morocco was nasty.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Well, not only that, Morocco could wrestle, too. That was another thing. When he got bigger, they just kind of like, okay, you're the big guy now. You got to wrestle like a big guy. We're not playing around, you know, just do this. But, yeah, I mean, not trying to say all of them in their prime, you know, didn't work. They did, and some of them even longer. It's just that today, with all the injuries, they don't want anybody getting hurt because they're money machines. They want to drain, like Vince wants to drain all the money he can out of you before he lets you go. Yeah. If you're making money, he's going to exploit it. He don't care.
Oh, well,
it's like,
also,
go ahead.
Well, the touring schedule was a lot harder back then, too, so I can believe why they would cut down moves like that.
Well, right now they shouldn't have. And you know what else they should have done? If he was so worried about losing money, because I think the Thunderdome thing is absolutely ridiculous. But anyway, if he just sent everybody home and played all of the Attitude Era, he would be killing everybody else in the ratings. They could all stay home and make money until this COVID thing was over, and he would come out smelling like a rose when they hit the road again. But no, let's just keep doing this thing, and they already had how many different people test positive in the, you know, crew people, backstage people.
Yeah, they're being,
it was like 47
yeah, being,
or so.
They're being investigated
they're not,
too by Florida.
Good. They need to be. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think it's the networks that demand more content, and they probably have to, you know, cater to them. I think that's why they're still doing shows.
Well, here's the thing. I can understand them moving to Fox and Fox demanding that, but I don't see USA. He made USA Network, and that's why they said he was planning on leaving. And they said, no, we'll do whatever you want. So he got the sweet deal, a sweetheart deal again. But he's also made that channel what it is. If it weren't for them, they wouldn't be on, you know, they'd be some low-life
reality TV network.
Right, we wouldn't watch. Oh, yeah, Love After Lockup. I love that show. Not. That's a wrestling show.
No, that's I don't know. I kind of started on the tag team thing. I don't know how long we can carry that, but I would love to kind of run through that because there's been some teams mentioned in that, and maybe it'll spur a memory here or there amongst the group with some of those things. But, I mean, there were – God, I'm starting to go back and go deeper with some of those things. There were some –
Okay.
Those guys would tell some story. Those guys, the tag teams, could tell a story. And some of them that were just those guys back in the day, they would work it to the hilt. The whole keep it on this side of the ring and all that. You know, the anywhere within 10 feet of the other guy was like a danger zone. That kind of in the other corner.
Minnesota Wrecking Crew was good at that. The Freebirds were good.
Now
to
I want to mention one thing about the Minnesota Wrecking Crew that I just found. Only one of those guys had a last name of Anderson. Did you know that?
I think it was Gene, wasn't it?
That is correct. It was Gene Anderson. The rest of them, Ole was a cousin. The rest of them were just paid to come in. They actually had to pay to come in. Lars had to pay him $15,000 to be able to. Be called an Anderson. I mean, listen, Gene Anderson was the brains behind that damn operation. I'm going to tell you that.
Oh, yeah.
And he got Ole.
Absolutely.
And, I mean, really, he knew what he was doing. And for those of you that don't know, Gene has passed away. Ole lives in Toccoa, Georgia. And he's unhappy about everything.
Of course he is. He got screwed over too, but go ahead.
Yeah, there a lot of those guys did. I tell you, somebody that could tag with anyone, in my mind, was Arn Anderson.
Oh, yeah.
Arn,
with anybody.
That
Arn
could do that, and some that could not.
Well, yeah, you couldn't up the Rock and Roll Express because. They couldn't work with anybody else.
Well, no, they couldn't.
I mean,
but they were great together, I'll tell you that.
They were great together, but they couldn't work with another tag team if they had to because the chemistry's not there. You know what the other guy's thinking and want to do, especially if you're just going out, if you're just reading and feeding and just going with the flow. So, you couldn't do that with
you
ain't been in the ring with.
See, that's the thing about great tag teams because, in general, if you have a great tag team, neither one of them are very good at singles matches. They really aren't, except, and now, by the way, I guess, working with Susan Green and as much research as I'm doing about ladies wrestling, I can tell you that there was one wrestler, just one, that I think was a genius beyond compare, and she could wrestle with anybody, and that was Leilani Kai. She was unbelievable. And, you know, she's had some rough times, and I've explored some of that with Susan. But Leilani Kai was, for a time, with the Glamour Girls, which was her and Judy Martin. And I'm going to tell you what, they were pretty darn good, and I think they would have been, I would say, now, Velvet, you can disqualify this statement. I think the Rock and Roll Express would have had a hard time with the Glamour Girls. If you have them both in their prime, I think Rock and Roll Express would have had a tough time with the Glamour Girls. I do. I just saw Susan Green wrestle a demo match, and she's good as anybody. She's 68 years old, and she can beat the crap out of you. She can hurt you too.
Get it right.
Right, Velvet?
That's right.
And I mean, and I have a whole Let's say I have a whole new respect for the ladies in the 80s and the 90s. Not today. Oh, by the way, I got a complaint. Can I file a complaint with the committee? Are y'all ready for this complaint?
Oh, boy.
Oh, Lord.
Okay, I just saw Steve Logan. You sent me that story about how Charlotte Flair now is number 3 in terms of the number of days she has held the women's championship, right? Do you remember sending me that earlier today?
Yeah.
Okay, and who is supposedly number 2?
Bailey.
Now, who?
I like her work.
Bailey.
Who?
Bailey.
Well,
I've got news for you. And this is going to be in the Susan Green book. Bailey is number 1. And Charlotte Flair is now number 2. Because that title they're talking about was never a sanctioned NWA or anything title. The Fabulous Moolah in 1998 won the ladies' world championship and held it for 8 days, and that's it. Whatever else she claims to have held is a non-sanctioned title. And I'm going to be very clear on that in Susan's book. So that means Bailey is number 1 and Charlotte Flair is number 2. You watch. Everybody can disagree with me if you want to, but I'm going to have the proof is going to be in the pudding. And that's it. So
she had the rights to that, bought the belt or some such thing, right?
Well, all the women all went through her, and she owned her own belt. It wasn't recognized by anybody, but she owned her
belt and held it
for 27.
This is just like if you went and created you a belt and paraded around and beat enough dudes in independent wrestling that you could claim that you were the world champion. That's exactly what Moolah did.
But she did.
Now,
yeah, she did.
Now, and I'm going to say this. Upon looking at her wrestling, Moolah was nothing but a brawler. She didn't know that much wrestling. In fact, she sure didn't know how to get out of the Indian deathlock that Susan Green put her in down in the Sportsplex in Dallas and lost her world championship belt. Moolah was not that good of a wrestler, but she was a heck of a business lady.
Oh, yeah. She held the women hostage because they all had to pay her.
Huh?
She held the women's division hostage, and everybody, all the women had to get booked through her, and they had to pay her after they got paid from the promoters.
They had to pay her 30% of what they made, which was a whole lot of money. And they also had to pay her rent.
Because they all did that.
So the time they got done, they had 50% of what they made before taxes were taken out. What taxes? Nobody took taxes,
not taxes
back then.
No, nobody paid. Nope, it was all cash in business back then.
That's right.
That's why
so,
nobody
I mean,
could say anything against her. That's right.
Well, okay. I'm sorry. I'm giving away a little bit too much of the book because this book, which is going to be titled
yeah, now nobody
The First Lady of Wrestling is the name of this book. And, you know, the men in black are going to have to come shoot me and kill me before this one doesn't happen.
Well, I tell you what we'll do, Dr. John. We'll call that a tease on the book.
There you go. It's a tease.
And since we're right on the edge, we're within the five-minute window. So let's go ahead and knock out our bottom of the hour station break.
Very important. Thank you very much to VSC Nation and Brady Hicks for keeping us on the air Friday night at 5 p.m. And we got the regular crew here tonight. We're missing Malcolm. I'm going to try to text him and see where he is. I think he's somewhere near Memphis as he slowly moves across the United States to Charleston. I'm going to try to see if I can find him and get him on here. But thank
okay.
you, Brady Hicks, and thank you for VSC Nation for carrying pop culture stars. And do you know, Brady Hicks, you've carried this show for 6 years, Brady. We're one of your oldest and finest shows, so thank you very much. All right, Todd, you and Velvet, get back to complaining. And I want to hear some damn Dave Atwell. Dave has been too quiet, and I want to hear some more. I want to hear some more of everybody
damn.
But me talking about ladies wrestling. Okay.
It's funny the whole tag team thing and all that. I can just for the record, I know right now after you announced 6 years on the air on VOC Nation, Brady was probably face palming saying, "What the hell am I thinking?"
Right.
oh, he's already over that. He's numb. Oh, by the way, next week, Brady Hicks is going to be the guest on ScaryCast. It's our Halloween episode, and so Brady's going to be there. He's going to have pictures. Robin is going to use her psychic powers and find the ghosts in them, and it's going to be a blast.
Oh,
it's
Lord.
Going to be as much fun
oh,
as you can possibly
great.
Have.
I'm thinking we got to do a Halloween podcast next week, too. Thank you, Tim. I'm just stealing your material here.
Poor Tim.
Well, we do all that anyway, so it doesn't matter. But yes, Tim, what have you got to say for yourself tonight? You've been far too quiet drinking that vodka and Diet Coke.
I'm just enjoying
Tim,
listening for right now.
But Tim, at our fraternity, I had them call that witch's brew. It was Coke and vodka because one time we all ran out of any kind of decent mixer and all we had left was Coca-Cola. And then we found out, hey, this is pretty good stuff. But, you know, so it's called witch's brew. So we'll all of us that drink will have to have witch's brew next week, and it'll be a lot of fun on Wednesday night when we do our – oh, yes, we've got to do a Halloween show.
So, Tim.
Oh,
yeah, that
Lord.
Was that was something between, I think, Todd and I that I had suggested since it would be, you know, the one right before Halloween. But,
yeah.
You know, I override you because I think you put a – you put a feeler out there for us and gave us a little bit of homework, so I don't want to steer away from that. You know, I'm all about
right,
doing
right.
anything.
And for those
you know?
Of you that didn't hear, I'm asking everyone to please go on YouTube and watch the movie Lipstick and Dynamite. It's about ladies wrestling. And I'd like to have, of our hour and a half, I'd like to have a 30-minute discussion on it because it's culturally important. And I'd like to put some of your comments in my book, First Lady of Professional Wrestling. I mean, I really would, and I think it'd be great, and I think Susan would like it that she's got a lot of fans because we are going to have Susan Green on the show next month. We've got, and I'll go ahead and tell you who I'm working on right now. I'm getting ready to get a date from Wild Thing Stevie Ray. He's going to be on with us for a special. If we get his butt on, we're going to do him for 2 hours. We're going to have a two-hour show with Wild Thing Stevie Ray, who was at one time the single most popular wrestler in the world with the UWF and Herb Abrams, and he's going to talk a little bit about the dark side of the ring and Herb. And we've got a ghost story about Herb Abrams now that actually came up. It actually surfaced. Herb Abrams was one of the most important people in wrestling who never made it, but he got pretty close. So we'll talk more about that, and who knows. All right, I'm sorry. I'm gonna back off into the distance and let you guys keep talking because I just have too much cool stuff to say. Right, Granny? I probably do. Huh? All right, Tim, it's you. It's all you right now.
I gotta say something to Tim. You were in Gatlinburg recently, right?
That is correct. Yep, just got back.
Well, my tag team partner lives there, Tommy Feathers. You didn't see a biker in drag, did you?
Oh, well, I think I would have remembered that. I don't believe I did.
I'll have to dig up my pictures of him and send some to you. That was funny.
That's awesome. All right.
They're
yeah,
great.
It was a really
what?
Cool trip.
Cool.
That is so
I
funny.
Love Gatlinburg. Well,
yeah,
it was Tommy Feathers and the Amazing Velvet, baby. That was our tag team. Great.
What was it again? I'm going to have to write that down.
Tommy Feathers and the Amazing Velvet. When we were good people, we were called Sinfully Sweet, Sinfully, Sinfully Sweet. And then we were bad, we were PMS. We were Pretty Mean Sisters.
That's hilarious.
Hey,
yeah,
we had
so
to get over somehow,
man. I've got to throw this out in my household. First off, I grew up, it was all boys, stuff like that. My brothers got all boys, all their kids are boys, that kind of stuff. So I was the only one that had a daughter. And somewhere during the life with my wife, there wasn't just the whole menstruation thing, and then it became that whole pre thing, and then there became that post thing, and then their cycles didn't sync up, so it became permanent for me. So yeah, in my case, I kind of think of it as permanent mental stress.
Yeah, permanent mental stress. I love it. Yeah, I got a daughter. She's 17. Trust me. And my wife's starting to have some hot flashes. I went, oh crap. That's why I'm on the porch. Like everybody else. Hey,
Todd,
you hear something
you know,
funnier than that? Not only am I on the porch, I'm on the porch with my gun. I don't need
Granny Hulkster's cringing, saying, oh my God, I can't believe these guys.
Right. Right.
Todd, going back
no,
here, clean, about
was,
beating the house.
I was
with,
cleaning it, so it's all good. Go ahead.
Going back to Todd's point, it's kind of funny you mentioned that because without getting too personal here, my daughter, who's 11, has just kind of started going through that. And here I am, the dad, you know, completely dumb when it comes to that. And I'm like, man, I don't know how this goes. Do they get, you know, is it kind of like, oh, my gosh, what's happening to me? Is it like a depressing type? Like, you mean I've got to maintain this for the rest of my life? And, you know, so I'm kind of like, in the background, talking to my wife, like, so, you know, is it going okay? Is she, you know, or is everything all right? And she's like, oh, yeah, she's texting her friends. They're all, you know, she was one of the last ones, so she's proud of it. And she's texting her friends, and so now they all talk about it. Like, really? All right.
Yeah, poor guy. All we're thinking is it's a crime scene. You know what I mean? When my two granddaughters on there, it was like, you know, my wife and my daughter on the phone, they're boo-hoo, and I'm like, what's the matter? What's going on? And she says, oh, it's the girls. I'm like, what happened to the girls? Because they're twins, you know? I'm like, wham, wham. And, you know, for a guy, man, all I'm thinking is like yellow tape, blue and red lights flashing, you know, and it's just,
right.
Oh, it's part of their period. And I'm like, is it a period to say, well, I mean, are they okay? Are they in the hospital? She's like, no, they just had their period. And I'm like, yeah, but, like, that's a lot of stuff going on, ain't it? I mean, you know, for us guys, we worry about
right.
Jock and getting caught, you know, rubbing one out, you know, when mom walks in with your folded underwear, you know, but it,
right.
When it comes down to that too, guys are just totally out to lunch when it comes down to that stuff. We have
yeah,
no idea.
You're right.
And I don't want to learn. I'm better off not knowing. I just want to leave it be.
Right. That's funny.
That's why I'm one of those dads. If you want to ask about how to grill a pork chop, I'm the guy to come to. But if you want to ask about menstruation, I'm like, yeah, go ask your mother.
Right. Which pad should I buy, Dad? I have no clue.
Yeah, there ain't no 64-foot of them at the grocery store for Christ's sake. You can pick one out. You know,
yeah, well, you know, here's the thing with Dave and you know, retail for all those years, you can say this is our biggest seller.
Yeah, right.
I would do better on Jeopardy than answering the question of which one is best. My chances on Jeopardy are better.
What was bad for me was when the girl had to go on vacation
on
for that segment. All right, when the girl when she had to leave to go on vacation, I had to use those things. I'm a guy standing there putting them all on the shelf, and ladies are coming up like, "Oh, I'll wait for him to leave."
Yeah,
that's hilarious.
I tell him I'm gonna be here a while.
I'll do my best to get back on track. I'm going to do for tampons.
No. It's a joke. Has anybody got it? What do elephants use for tampons?
Sheep. Be good.
All right, time to change the subject now.
Oh my God.
We are changing the subject, indeed. I already tried, Dr. John. I already tried.
That's right. We are officially changing the subject now.
Yes. We
all
are
okay.
Going
I was still up.
Logan.
Is it all right if I go ahead and ask
Logan.
A question then? I feel partially responsible for this, I can go ahead and
ask. When you're done, Tim, shift it to Steve Logan.
Well, I was going to ask him a question, actually. So I wanted to do it that way.
Ask the question. We'll get an answer that goes to Steve Logan.
But trying to tie back to Todd was talking about I'm sorry, I'm getting my names confused. I was thinking, well, I'm going to ask him a question, but I'm going toward Amazing Velvet here. Sorry, or anyone.
Okay, no problem.
But I wanted to try to go back into what Todd was talking about with tag team, and in my mind, and I say this, it's my disclaimer that I throw out there every single week, because I'm probably the least educated, you know, about this, and least experienced in watching. But I would think that is that like something that maybe, like, is it harder to get into tag team, or is it easier? Because, you know, one aspect I'm thinking of is, if you're not totally in shape or seasoned for it, maybe it's kind of a break. Like, you take a mental break, and, you know, you tag someone in and kind of regroup and think about what you have to do next, as opposed to always being, you know, there on the spot. So I was just kind of curious, you know, which is actually there's probably areas, because you got more people involved, so it's a little bit more complex to work out. So what are some of the pros and cons of tag team wrestling?
Okay. Yeah, sometimes tag teams are set up because you're hiding someone's inability to work, and you're correct. So sometimes it can be easy, sometimes it can be hard. When it comes to that, if you got somebody that you got to carry and make them look good when they're actually look, you know, like garbage, that's hard. So, the pros for being a tag team is if everybody in the tag team match knows one another and they're good at working together, and it makes it so much easier and so much fun, because you can do a little more jokes, you can play with the referee a little more, you can have the referee distracted more, you can just get away with little things. But when you have somebody that you have to protect, it becomes, all right, we're going to go straight to this, this, and this, let him in, back out, and we cut to the chase, and that's it. So it kind of messes your what you really want to do and what you want to showcase as a tag team. And a lot of times, tag team wrestlers, unless they were already a singles wrestler prior, if they're not, it's harder for them to be singles wrestlers. I had to do it when my partner tore both his knees, not at the same time, but when he tore his last knee and he decided he was going to retire, everybody told me that the Amazing Velvet would not make it as a singles wrestler. Well, I did. I busted my tail to make it work, and it's harder because you're the only one in the match at this point. You have nobody to play.
Right.
So you got 30 minutes, 45 minutes. You're like, oh, can I get a timeout, please? No.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's one of the cons, because when you're used to going back and forth and having a style that you're used to, you got to forget all that when you become a single dresser. You got to figure out what your style is now, because you don't have that added person there. So, somebody's going off taking my pill, did I?
Yeah,
not me.
Not anymore.
It's pros and cons of everything. I think and as far as the tag team, like I said, if you've already been a singles wrestler, you can probably jump back and forth. If you haven't been, it's a lot harder. That would be my take. And usually when you go to a show and somebody doesn't show up and you got to put another tag team match together and you got somebody you don't really want to put in it, you do it anyway just to get by, just to get through the show. Well, you know, we know he's not great, but, you know, make it work, and they'll walk away from you, and you just got to make it work. But, yeah, I mean, that happens all the time. I mean, look at tag teams they put together in WWE. Someone, why are they together? And sometimes you see it once, and that's it. Because sometimes a one-and-done is really good, and sometimes they keep them together and go, really? We got to watch that? So, I mean, it is a hard thing to really try to explain.
I think answer.
Go ahead.
I think short answer. Okay, everyone has a bump card. Everyone has a bump card. I've heard that phrase.
Oh no, everybody does.
Just
absolutely.
Wanted to add that in. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. Everybody, whether you're a singles wrestler or a tag wrestler, yeah. But I'm just, you know, it also goes on to what you do, what your style is. You know, if you beat yourself in the indies to try to make it to the big to television, your bump card's probably maxed out already. So, just saying.
Right.
All right, let's get this in to Steve here.
Yes.
And Steve has some wrestling news from Japan to tell us.
Mm-hmm. New Japan just recently wrapped up the G1 Climax, and Kota Ibushi defeated Sonata in the finals. And...
second in a row,
definitely.
Right?
Oh yes, consecutive. He's it's pretty interesting that he won consecutively because they had Masahiro Chono kind of introduce the match or kind of do a speech before the match, and he's a repeat consecutive G1 Climax winner himself, and he's won multiple G1 Climax tournaments. Ibushi is the second one, you know, consecutively. So it's pretty interesting that he was there. I think that was, you know,
he's giving him the nod,
kind of
rub.
Manifest, yeah, exactly, giving them rub, manifest destiny, I think, a little bit. But there was, and then he finished with 14 points. Some of the other guys that finished with 12 points were Jay White, Will Ospreay, Okada. I hear myself on the speaker, by the way. Naito, Evil. Naito and Evil were in the B block, so. I kind of predicted Jay White to be in the finals, if not win, but he did not make it to the finals. So definitely an interesting tournament. And but Jay White is facing Bushi. At a later date for the briefcase that Kota gets from the G1 because Kota has a match for Wrestle Kingdom if he can hold on to that briefcase, main event match. And speaking of tags, tag team wrestling, they're doing a tag league tournament in November. November 15th, I believe, and might wrap up in December 11th, along with the junior tournament. So definitely, if you're into Japanese wrestling, and if you're into tag team wrestling, I would recommend checking out World Tag League Tournament on that njpwworld.com. And that's basically the bulk of my news. But definitely check out New Japan if you get the chance, because I think they have an exciting product.
Absolutely.
I forgot. Will Ospreay broke away from Chaos and turned on Okada recently. And him, Great O'Khan, and Bea Priestley are starting up a faction over there. And Chris Jericho, I've heard, kind of gave Will Ospreay some advice. behind the scenes about how, you know, to go about, you know, doing that turn. So it's pretty interesting seeing these, you know, AEW New Japan crossover speculation.
Well, they're trying to work hard on that.
I think AEW might be interested, definitely, especially with Harold Mage stepping down from his leadership position. That was also big news. And it'll be interesting to see if there's any crossover after Harold leaves.
Sure.
Tanahashi sent that video to Chris Jericho, for the 30-year tribute. So I think definitely follow the New Japan product, because I think, they're doing a USA show called NJPW Strong on Friday nights with some of the USA talent. So, that's basically my New Japan news.
Thank you. Thank you, Steve. We appreciate that.
That's very awesome.
Thank you for,
I tell you what. Good deal. I mean, I know we had to try to beat a timeline here for Steve. So I hope we did that.
Thank you.
I tell you who we haven't heard any tag team stuff from, Granny.
I've just been listening to all of you guys talk tonight.
Granny.
I mean, so.
But now it's time.
Well, one of my favorite tag teams, of course, is Ricky Morton and Robert Gibson, the Rock and Roll Express. I've always loved them.
You were never
them.
A teeny bopper when they were young, okay?
Well, now wait a minute. Now just hold on a minute.
Wow.
Robert Gibson's birthday is 1 month and 10 days before mine, and I think he's maybe 4 years older than I am. I'm 58.
So you threw
Elvis,
so you threw your training bra at him too.
No, I didn't throw my training bra at him. No, I didn't throw no training bra at him. But
that,
I gotta tell you a funny story.
Okay.
I gotta tell you a funny story. When we met Ricky and Robert in person at TCW down in Nashville, Tennessee. For TCW Tribulation, they opened for the Tennessee State Fair. My son went up and told Robert Gibson that I had a crush on him in my younger days.
Robert Gibson has always been
my favorite rock and roll guy. I mean, I love them both. They're awesome guys. I mean, and last year when they came to Alma, Arkansas for a autograph signing, because they were doing a fundraiser for veterans to get service dogs, you know. They were doing like a canine warrior type thing to get dogs for veterans, you know, service dogs for veterans. It was Ricky Morton's birthday. And when my husband and I got our picture with Ricky and Robert, Robert put his WWE Hall of Fame ring on my finger for the picture. And I didn't even ask if I could wear it, guys. He just put it on Granny's finger for the picture.
Nice.
That's awesome.
You sure did he put it on your finger or you had to? Because you know he's cross-eyed, right?
No, he put it on my finger. And he is standing there. He's standing there with his one arm around my shoulder. And his other hand, he's holding my hand up, and I'm like, I've got my hand like in a fist, and where you can see the ring, the WWE Hall of Fame ring, he's holding my hand for the picture. So
good. Well, that was nice of him.
Yeah, that
really was.
Spectacular.
No, that's awesome. That's awesome. Because a lot of people,
yeah,
for about 5 minutes, Granny was an honorary WWE Hall of Famer.
There you go. Hey, nothing wrong with that.
Well, hey, I got another funny story to tell you guys. When I went to Las Vegas last
year, real quick, Granny.
Oh,
which
okay.
finger did he put it on? Were you? Was it a wedding ring? Briefly.
No, it was. It was. It was just my. He just put it on my. My middle finger, you know, for the picture, on my left hand.
Of course it.
I'm personal friends with his girlfriend, Tammy. She's a really nice lady. I love Tammy. She's an awesome lady. Tammy and I are really good friends. So, you know, but last year when I went to Las Vegas for our International Moose Lodge Convention, my very good friend that lives in Topeka, Kansas, Tommy Snow, he was an independent wrestler and he had to retire because of his MS health issues, you know, and stuff. So he had to retire from wrestling. But he told me to take my original granny shirt to Las Vegas and have somebody take a picture of me wearing that shirt out in Vegas, which I did. And one of my moose friends from Colorado, she was our official visitor a couple of years ago at our state convention in Little Rock, Sandy
Betty
Thompson.
Rumble.
She told Jan Fragulia, she says, Jan, we have a WWE superstar in our presence. I'm like, I had somebody take my picture in the casino of me wearing my granny shirt. So, you know.
Oh, that's cool. I like that.
Yeah, I have an autographed shirt from the Rock and Roll Express, and Ricky was pretty cool. Both of them were cool. It was funny, Ricky was wearing a rock and roll shirt, but it said Young Bucks on it with Japanese font. I was like, I want your shirt. And he said, Pro Wrestling Tees. I was like, oh, okay. But yeah, it was a cool meeting them.
Yeah,
they're
awesome guys. They are really amazing. And I tell you, I have met so many wonderful wrestlers over the years. I mean, I love the people that I have met. I mean, it's just been absolutely amazing, the people that I have met, the wrestlers that I have met, male and female wrestlers over the years. I mean, it's been amazing. So,
cool.
All right. So, Granny not only got a favorite tag team, but she got a crush along with it. That's kind of cool. That's so funny that your son did that.
And the funny thing was, when I came up to meet Ricky and Robert, Robert put his arm around my shoulder and gave me a hug, and he says, well, hey, baby, how you doing? He says, I understand you had a crush on me when you were younger. I said, yes, I did, and you've been talking to my son.
Okay. I got a great story. This is funny. There was a big famous television star back in the 70s, and my mom would always say when he came on, oh, he's my boyfriend. So we were down here in Myrtle Beach at the Sun Fun Festival, and the dude turns out to be the Grand Marshal of the Sun Fun Festival Parade. So the three of us are standing there, and I'm not very old, and so the dude comes, you know, along in his car and all that, and it got real quiet, and I yelled, Mommy, there's your boyfriend. And you've never seen such an embarrassed lady. And my father, it's funny, he kind of moved away from me. My mother just kind of ducked back. I was just kind of like there by myself, looking like an 8-year, 7-year-old idiot. It was great. I mean, you know, if you want to talk about feeling all alone, you say something like that, and you can't see your dad anymore, and your mom has disappeared. That's alone. Okay. Anyway, next. Okay. I'm picking on Dave Atwell. Where are you, my friend? We know where you are.
I'm dragging a cigar. What are you doing?
Well, you better.
Well, if you
want to
know, I just posted wrestling tonight for Sunday night. I still have to work even if we're on the show. You know, so anyway,
you got to contribute to this tag team extravaganza.
All right, so Velvet, I'm gonna drop some names on you. Going back to my trips to Savannah as a youngin that we've spoken before. You dropped the name of Don Quinoto earlier.
Yeah.
And if you recall, before Don Quinoto, there was a young man named Jim Nelson.
Private Jim Nelson. That's right.
Yes. Well, let me tell you about Jim Nelson. I'm sure you, and I need you to cement this for me. I need a good Jim Nelson story if you have any.
Okay.
Back, if there's one thing that wrestling's doing better now than they did then, is that every week on Mid-Atlantic Wrestling, it was always the Masked Superstar against me. And those were the matches all the way up till 5 minutes before the end of the show. And then you got the Ricky Steamboat, Ric Flair match. All right. Now, at least we put together just about every match is somewhat of a marquee match. There's no more Matt Boy type thing as there used to be. So Jim Nelson lost everything. To the best of my knowledge, he lost every match. So we're in Savannah, and this is one of the last times we had gone to Savannah because my, you know, we were getting transferred from Paris Island up to here. And he was fighting Tony Anthony, who later became Dirty White Boy Tony Anthony.
Yeah.
Okay, just a little name dropping there. Neither one of these gentlemen had won a match, to the best of my knowledge. They just went in there and got the daylight beat out of them every time, right? Now, this is the pre-Sergeant Slaughter Jim Nelson. These two guys went in there, and it was the first match on the card that night. And, of course,
curtain jerks.
My dad and his Marine, his Marine Corps buddies, they're up there just letting it go. I mean, calling Jim Nelson every name in the book. And because Jim Nelson was kind of an odd-looking character, but nevertheless.
He was.
He went in there and actually beat Tony Anthony, right? And when the whole place, when he pinned him and the bell rang, the whole place just went silent, okay? And there was a guy named Monahan. I want to say he was a sergeant, if I'm not mistaken. He was the one who always carried the high-tech camera to the shows. But nevertheless, Dad would be able to tell a story better than me. But the whole Civic Center just went silent because Jim Nelson actually won. And Monahan came out of nowhere and went, "Holy shit!" And I mean, the whole place erupted. And it was like 2 weeks later, he became Private Nelson. And we're all like, I bet it's because he beat Tony Anthony. He finally broke the damn seal and got a win. Now Sergeant Slaughter drafted him. But, yeah, I mean, first off, I got to ask, have you ever dealt with the guy before? Whatever happened to him? Do you have any good Jim Nelson stories? Because, I mean, he was an intriguing guy, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, later on, he actually changed his name to another name, and then took that persona in real life. So let me explain that to you real quick.
Oh, wow.
After the Sergeant Slaughter thing and then went down, and he was no longer a part of that tag team, and he basically tootled around the Gulf Coast area after that, and he went a few other places. And he came back. He was a Russian. Anyway, he changed his name to some Russian name. Steve, you know this one? My brain's playing chemo brain on me right now.
No, I'm sorry. I was
on the road
here.
So he changed his name to some Russian thing, and he became a Russian. He hung out. Came back to Mid-Atlantic, and he did a few things with Ivan and Nikita when Crusher Khrushchev was out. So he worked with them for a little bit. Well, he ended up changing his name legally to whatever that character's name was, and that's what he lives by today. Like, you're out of here. Yeah, I gotta look it up. Let me look, man. It's killing me because my brain is playing tricks on me right now.
All right, I tell you what, that's perfect for you to take a moment to go ahead and look that up, because we're going to do this, it's going to do the top of the hour station break.
Because it is 9:59, and thank you, VOC Nation, for hosting Pop Culture Stars as we talk about wrestling and everything else. It's just unbelievable. what all we talk about. We're having such a great with the following people. We have Dave Atwell. We have Todd Saxon. We have
Tim.
We have Steve Tim. Logan. What did I say? Did I call you the wrong name?
It's a great Steven.
I'm sorry. I don't know why I called you. I was just trying to get everyone's name in. So anyway, we have Steve Logan, and we have, if I put anyone else's name out, I'm sorry, and we don't have Malcolm Watson.
Okay, I've got his
tonight.
Name now.
What's his name?
His name is today me. Is now Boris Zhukov.
Yes, I
that's
that
who
was
Private
Jim Nelson?
Nelson became. Yep.
No way. Holy
yep.
crap.
We need to have Boris Zhukov on our show, don't we?
Let me find out where he's at. Because he should be local. He should be, like, within North Carolina, I think.
He was Boris Zhukov?
He was Boris Zhukov.
Wow.
His real name is James Kirk Harrell. He's in Roanoke, Virginia, so I can call Tank and see if we can get a hold of him. He went from Private Jim Nelson to Mr. Russia to Boris Zhukov, and then Boris Zhukov is now his legal name.
Well, what is he doing now? What is
he's
doing?
He's retired. He's 61 years old. And I'm trying to figure out 2016. Okay. He's had a number of lawsuits. One against everybody's on the one for WWE, and then he had something else happen with somebody else. It doesn't say. It's very vague. In 2018, but yeah, he's in Roanoke, so I'll talk to. Hey, Steve, where are you at in Virginia compared to Roanoke?
Parts unknown, next to Richmond.
Okay, well, I'll ask Tank because he might know where this cat's at because, you know, he being in the plumbing business and the wrestling business is pretty much the same.
Wow.
Yeah, how
well,
awesome
it is.
Would
I mean,
be to have Jim Nelson on here? I mean,
we can do
wow.
it. We can do it, bro.
That would be out of control.
I'm trying to get Ronnie Garvin to do the show because I've been talking to Handsome Ronnie Garvin.
Yes.
How's that?
Him and Flair used to beat the daylights out of one another, man.
And then
that
I'm
would be mind
also blowing. Running down. I'm also trying to run down Hacksaw Jim Duggan, but he's on vacation, so nobody's home.
I love Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Yeah, that would be awesome to have Hacksaw Jim Duggan on here with us.
I want to throw something out. I knew I used this when Dr. John introed the crew tonight. The team in the green room when we were talking, we were just – everybody felt really relaxed, really loose,
oh,
and
yeah.
I think it's really showing in the show. So I really appreciate how everybody is really being you and relaxed. And I think it really shows.
Yeah.
I would like to remind the listeners that there is not a darn thing that is scripted.
No.
Because this is
scripted because we're all too good to script this great work.
I think there is it's kind of funny that we kind of grabbed a tag team theme here.
I
think it's an example of the chemistry that's happened.
Yeah, everybody here is gelling, man. Yeah, it works. You know, it does.
Yeah,
hey, you know what? That's what makes a good go ahead. That's what makes a good podcast. Go ahead.
Velvet, I wanted to get your thoughts on the Road Warriors because Animal passed away this year, last month.
Man, let me tell you something. Nicest guy you'll meet was Animal out of the both of them. Hawk was too busy.
Yeah.
Hawk was too busy partying and doing coke and whatever else all night long. There's a video on – YouTube that, Granny, I'm gonna have to, I won't say, I'll say it nicely, okay? All right. Hawk just did a line of coke, and there's a paper on the wall that's got the match scheme. Well, you got Sting sitting there, you got Animal sitting there, you got one of the Steiners sitting there, and Lex Luger. Well, as he goes around the room, somebody says, hey, man, brother, you got something under your nose. And he's like, okay, and he's wiping it off. He's still got coke hanging out of his nose. And he's like, all right, this is the match scheme for tonight. You know who y'all got to wrestle and whatever. And he runs around. And somebody told me about this video, and it took me a long time to find it. What's disturbing is not him doing the cocaine, but what Lex Luger was doing. Because when the camera came back around, whoever was filming this, as they followed Hawk back around the room,
Velvet, stop.
Okay.
Was Lex Luger doing Ovaltine?
Pretty much to himself, yes.
Nobody laughed at my Ovaltine joke. I mean, where are the damn Anderson brothers? Come on.
Right?
Keep on. I'm sorry when I interrupt with the gears, brother. I'm sorry when I interrupt with the joke nobody laughs about. Ovaltine used to be funny.
Ovaltine used to be nasty.
It still is nasty. It's kind of like, what is this?
All right.
That hazelnut stuff.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Right.
Right.
So,
let's try to get the brain back on the rails here. Finish the story,
Animal was just a genuine straight up dude, man. You know, he loved to talk to people, loved to interact with the fans. You know, he couldn't ever keep Hawk straight, man, because Hawk was just out of control, always wanted to go out and party, always do that. But when you did get to him, when he wasn't doing it, nice guy too. But when he was all jacked up, he didn't care about nothing or nobody, man. He'd push you out the way to get, if he was hungry, you better not be standing in between him and the line because he's going to pick you up and move you. So anyway, but yeah, they were nice, but it's just a shame the way that Hawk went down. But this is really a shame. Because I really believe that he had a massive heart attack and there was nothing they could do when they found him because, you know, he died in the middle of the night. So obviously when you're asleep, see, I do this all the time. When I get up or roll over, I always check the wife and see if she's breathing because I worry about that. You know, everything that I've been through and all the stress that she's had to take just for me alone, I mean, I'm always checking. You know, that's kind of one of those paranoia things for me. But it's a shame. They were nice dudes as a whole, you know, even with him running around and doing what he was doing. But they genuine, nice. Big Hoss, who was trained by Susan, who lives in Columbia here, knew him personally. Big Mike knew him personally, and he'd take his son to see him, and they talked about their kids. You know, he talked to his wife when he was out doing the signing just to check in on him. And, you know, just a genuine, nice family, but it's a shame. You know, I know we all got to go yet, and none of us go tonight or tomorrow. I pray for that, but it's just one of those things. You know, 2020 has been a crappy, crappy year, and we can't get out of it fast enough.
Yeah, brother.
Oh my goodness. Hey, sorry, Mayday. We have a 206 number and we have a 3.
We got Malcolm.
206 number first. Is that Liz Brackett?
Why, yes. Yes, it is.
Liz,
we're so glad to have you here. We love you.
What's up?
Sparkle.
That's right.
Sparkle.
A mess. It is the queen of glitter and sparkle. We are here. We're here to bless you, and I am here for that.
Listen, honey, I'm the queen of sparkle. You better get it right.
So what are you doing, queen of glitter and sparkle? What are you up to?
I'm about 5'5" and a half today. I'm not having a real holiday. That's what I'm up to. I'm actually out in Arizona right now working, but I'm having the evening time to myself, so I thought I would hop on real quick before I have to get back to downloading more media. So
we're so glad you came on.
We are. The I was trying to tell Tim a little bit of the stuff about, like, when you were up there just about a year ago in Indiana. And
yeah.
We were hanging out there with the snow and stuff like that. Yeah, girl, that's like just about a year ago on the calendar. And, you know, the doggone White Castle trip, stuff like that. But you were doing, you know, you were lead on the film there. But look at you. You're all big in editing now.
Well, technically, I wouldn't say that. That's not really an accurate assessment. Editing is not my thing. However, what I will say is between the gap between the editors and the people in the field, I am the link. I'm the one that takes everything that is shot during the day, and I put it on the drives, and then I send the drives back to post. So anything that is shot runs through me before it gets to post.
There you go.
That's man, we talked about some of those stuff. That is so awesome. I'm so proud.
Well, I'm so stoked that I have a chance to hang out with you guys. I haven't been able to really chat on here in a while, but I missed talking on the podcast quite a bit. And so I had a few minutes to myself, and I had a break from my work today, and I thought I would just swing on in and give it a buzz.
That's so awesome.
We're glad you did. Good to hear you. We still love you, and
yeah,
you're still part of it. Your stars for sure.
Well, thank you.
But
I'm so glad my spot didn't get taken.
You said you were heading to Africa. If you're going to Arizona, you're going in the wrong direction, young lady.
Well, you know what? In a month, I'll be headed to Africa, so I don't really know which direction you think I should
Woo!
Be headed.
Well, you know what's actually kind of funny is we all had some text messages about a song with your next destination. Oh, by the way, Scorpions have a song for where you're at. They have a song called Arizona. So we got a good song themed with.
So we should have a playlist of all the places I travel. That's what I'm hearing.
That's exactly right. Arizona, You've Got Flowers in Your Hair by Paul Lindsay. Oh, my God.
Arizona,
I got nothing. I got nothing. I'm good.
It's all right. Tim, you haven't had a chance to meet the Queen of Sparkle. So, Tim, meet Liz. Liz, meet Tim. He's joined us from Indianapolis, and so we're glad to have him. We all say hello to each other.
What's up,
yes,
Tim? How
are
you?
Yes, very nice to meet you. I am doing
pleasure.
Fabulous. How are you?
I couldn't be any happier if I tried. If I was any happier, if I was any finer, if I was any more perfect, I'd be a frog hair split three ways, buddy.
Oh.
In case you didn't pick up on that, I'm like, I'm very blunt and I'm very one of a kind, in case you didn't pick up. But here we go.
Yep. And Liz, you have to meet Granny Hulkster. Granny, say hello to Liz. She's awesome.
Hi,
you
Liz.
Hi, Granny.
I'm
it
not.
A pleasure
hi.
To be
I'm not a wrestler. I'm just a big fan of the sport, you know. But just that's my gimmick name that was given to me 20 plus years ago by a former coworker because I love wrestling. So I love hanging out with this group of guys every Wednesday night.
They are something spectacular.
And then Liz, you've got to meet one of the coolest people that has ever been put on the face of this earth. He not only like Granny, he's a super fan. Malcolm, say hello to Liz, and Liz, say hello to Malcolm.
What's going on, Malcolm?
Malcolm
right?
is the world expert on doing imitations of.
You know what I did today, Liz? I drove my Raider car through Kansas City Chiefs country, and the state trooper told me, "You got cojones, brother."
I'm going to take that as a hello, and I'm going to say hello.
All right. Okay. All right.
Okay.
Malcolm, my turn. It's my turn, Dr. John.
From Charleston. He's an indie wrestler and a great one. So you now met all the folks that we just all get together on Wednesday nights and just have fun, don't we, Granny?
He knows.
Oh yeah.
Liz.
Yeah. Oh, that's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The next. I understand you call yourself the Queen of Glitter, but you don't have the Queen of Glitter and Sparkle. Okay, so it's the Amazing Velvet, and I have a glitter top to prove it. So there.
Ooh. Okay.
Ooh. It's a butterfly glitter top. Thank you.
All right. Very cute.
Oh, and also,
the guy,
I don't know about it. It was cute about 20 years ago.
Oh my God! The
guys legitimately named me the Queen of Glitter and Sparkle. But if you were ever to meet me face to face, you would look and go, "Huh?" Because I do not. And you can, Todd, do I look like I'm supposed to be the Queen of Glitter and Sparkle? Because I look like I'm the Queen of Glitter and Badass. But
there you go. All right.
I'm getting
Steven's
divorced
tomorrow.
Line,
where are you
I
at?
I don't know. I don't know if Liz has met Steve.
Oh,
Professor Steve. Got to buy him a border and a cap and a gown.
So here's the deal. As the moderator and everything, we have 12 minutes left. I want to give everybody 1 minute to say goodbye to everyone, tell them what you think. Even day that well, I'm going to keep you to 1 minute and a half because I know that you're the toughest character in the world. So, Liz, now that you've come on and we've all gushed, and we're all so glad you're here, give us a 1 minute goodbye that we can keep until you come back again from Africa.
All righty. Wow, you put me right on the spot. I guess what I can say is you guys are the happiness that I find on my Wednesday night. So glad to have a chance to hang out with you guys again. It's been entirely too long. It will be longer before it is shorter again. But when it does, I will certainly come back and hang out with you on a Wednesday night when I get back from Africa. You guys are amazing.
We love you, hon.
Right back.
You are too. And Liz, by the way, I have to call you at your number right after the show for 1 minute because I have an Africa reference that is amazing. It has to do with a future guest that's coming on. So just look for a quick phone call with me after the show, okay?
Yes, sir. I look forward to it.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much.
Dr. Josh, can I give Liz a special goodbye?
Oh, boy.
Do whatever you want to do, Malcolm. You didn't get to even say hello.
The Queen of Sparkles is one of the baddest lady SOBs on the planet, and that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold, Malcolm Wildman, and pop culture stars said so.
All right.
Thank you, kind sir.
Man,
we couldn't
Malcolm,
do it without you, Malcolm.
I wish you could bring more energy.
I would like to go next.
Okay, but let me tell Malcolm something. Malcolm, about how long will it be until you're in Charleston? Because I'm going to come down there, and you and me and Velvet are going to be live together on Pop Culture Stars. So about when do you think you'll be back down to Charleston?
I'm at the exit off the 64 East, 55. I'm headed towards Memphis right now. So,
okay, tell
a lot really cool.
That we said hello, okay?
There was a
okay,
guy,
that's great.
A super in Missouri, and he wanted to get the news crew to do a story on me, driving from the West Coast to East Coast to live near Hulk Hogan. He said, that is so cool.
Okay, well, we'll talk about that when we get you down here. Velvet, you're next.
All right.
You asked me.
All right. I have to say something to Liz. Liz, You're glittering badass. I'm getting divorced tomorrow.
That's pretty badass too.
So I guess we're going to Africa together.
Oh my God.
Let's do it.
Hey, I tell you what, I've been sitting around for so long I could go anywhere right now. I can go anywhere. I don't care. Let's go.
All right. You got the right
that
girl.
That was cool.
When you got the queen glitter, you got the right one. All right, thank you.
There you go.
And all right. So it'll go Granny Hulkster, Todd, and Dave, and then me. So Granny Hulkster, next.
Okay, well, it's always a pleasure to hang out with you guys every Wednesday night, and you guys are amazing, and I'm proud to call y'all my friends and consider y'all part of my family. So have a great week, everybody.
We're always glad to have you, Granny Hulkster.
We love you.
We really are. And all right, thank you. And let's see. So now we go to Todd. It's time for Todd.
You completely skipped Tim. Tim, you're up.
Oh, is it Tim?
Well,
okay.
All right. I was going
to
wait patiently because I feel like 9 minutes was enough, but I started my timer. Hey, I just wanted to say it's nice to meet Liz. Glad she called in. I'm glad Malcolm finally called in. Awesome to hear his voice. I love listening
to
Malcolm all the time.
Yeah, we were worried
and,
about you, Malcolm.
Yeah, and next week I'm hoping we can do a little bit of something spooky for the Halloween. I know you got the scary cast or whatever, but hopefully we can do a little bit on the show next week toward, you know, some Halloween geared, some kind of stuff there. And other than that, just I don't know, just wanted to touch on my trip to Gatlinburg, give another plug to Gatlinburg, and everyone have a great week, and love you all.
Love you, Tim.
We're glad to have you here, Tim. All right, Todd, what's up?
I'm going to reach out to Steve. Are you still – Steve, you still on the line?
No, Steve had to go work.
Okay, I know sometimes he lurks. I'm just trying to reach that opportunity out there.
He's gone. He had to go work.
All right, good to go. So I want to go with – what's up, Mark? So check this out. My brother, some of you know, he was in a ruthless motorcycle accident, you know, spinal cord broken, all that kind of stuff. So he had a growth on the scar tissue recently. He went and had a biopsy done today. And so the growth looked really wild. It was, it looked kind of like a generic mole cyst combination, but it had two green eyes, and that was the worrisome part. It turns out what it was it was supposed to be one of those internal stitches that the body would absorb. In this case, the body rejected it.
And
brought it out, but it's because for those internal stitches, when you're knee-deep in the human tissue, they use unique colors for the contrast purposes. So they'll use, like, green and yellow and purple, stuff like that. And so that, the ends of the suture were actually what appeared to be eyes on the growth. And I just want to throw that out there for those that didn't know it. So it's just... it was a little bit of kind of neat, a little bit of kind of gross, and it was just kind of interesting. It was so those internal sutures that they expect the body to absorb have a completely different color, and in this case, when the body rejected it along the tissue after 11 years, it just looked kind of like a cyst mole combination with eyes. Just kind of throwing it out there. So, hey, sup, Mark?
What's
Okay. But the moral of the story is all good news, nothing scary to report. That's wonderful news, right?
Oh, no, it's all good. It's all good. No negatives with the biopsy and all that. They're still sending it just in case, but it was just the body rejected it, and it was all good.
Awesome.
Well, great. We're glad he's cool. We're glad he's healthy, happy, and terrific. Kind of like my plants, okay? In fact, that's my new book, Healthy, Happy, Terrific Plants. You can go to Amazon and buy it right now. Healthy, Happy, Terrific Plants. What can I say? Seriously, what can I say? Dave Atwell, okay, what have you got to say, Dave? I'm afraid I've got 4 minutes and 6 seconds. What have you got to say for yourself?
Hey, just rescued my second pet. Just said goodnight to her. She's fantastic. If before you buy a pet, go to a rescue. It's going to be the best thing you ever did. And if you haven't already, get your ass out there and vote. Jim Nelson, 2024.
Wow.
Boris 2024. That's great, Dave. Jim Nelson 2024. I agree. I'm sure he could do better than a lot of people. Okay, that's right. Except me and Velvet. Me and Velvet are going to be running for president and vice president. I'm going to let Velvet run for president. Then I'm going to be Jim Pence. I'm going to be Mike Pence or whatever his name is. All right, so that's great.
Joe Biden, Dr. John.
Do what?
You would be a good Joe Biden.
Tim, what's your last name?
I'm glad we've degenerated into bad politics. So I want to say thank you to everybody that showed up here tonight. This has been one of the most wonderful. They're always good shows. We always have a good time. And you know what? We have a good time whether anyone else ever does, but our 60 or 70 listeners, I think they have a good time too. They know we're crazy, but we're honest. We're crazy, but honest. I like that phrase. Politicians can't say that. Well, they can say the first part. They can say crazy, but not the honest part. So, look, thanks to everybody. I appreciate everybody being on here. We'll see everybody next week. Malcolm, you got to get on here earlier. Granny Hulkster, thanks for being here. Velvet, we got to see you next week. And the old regulars, Tim, Todd, and Dave, and Liz, oh, dear God, if you're listening to us from wherever, whatever space station you're on, please come back and visit, and we'll have a great time. The first part of the show will be a roundtable discussion of Lipstick and Dynamite, the great, great movie about women's wrestling, and I'm going to take some of the remarks and I'm going to put them in the brand new book, First Lady of Professional Wrestling, about Susan Green. And then we got a lot of other great things to talk about because Tim, since this is going to be our Halloween show, you kind of volunteered to help me put the other hour show together. Oh, be quiet, British lady.
I'm gonna do
so, Tim, I'm gonna call you later, probably tomorrow, and you and I are gonna put together the rest of the Halloween show for Pop Culture Stars. How does that sound?
That'll work. I'm gonna do my best. I have a couple of things I want to try to line up, and I'm not giving any guarantees because they're just thoughts off my head. And for just to throw it out there, my last name was asked. If you're looking it up on Facebook, I'm not out there as Tim Armstrong. It's Mid Jeb. MITJEB. So I didn't know if that's where
it's
it was
what?
Going with it, but Mitt Jeb is my name on Facebook. I thought maybe that's where I think that was Amazing Velvet out there asking me what my last name was.
Worst case, Velvet, hit me with the messenger, and I'll make sure you get connected to Tim.
I definitely volunteer.
With 31 seconds left, I'll say thanks a lot to the one and only VOC Nation. This is Dr. John Stamey signing off for another legendary episode of Pop Culture Stars. See you for the Halloween episode next week. Take care, 9 p.m. Wednesday.
All right.
Good night, everybody.
Luke, you're
good
the best. Big hug.
Love y'all.
Take care.